Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
It is a tremendous Thursday on You Better You Bet. It is Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, both of us back in the saddle for the first time since the magnificent Football Monday edition of the show. Hour number two here on the program. Got a lot to do. Josh Norris is going to join us an hour from now. Odyssey Sports Fantasy Football Insider. Our old DP, Rick Camp, stops by 40 minutes from now, giving us winning NBA plays for tonight and to talk NBA betting as a whole. Maybe a little same-game parlay conversation. I know Rick loves the same-game parlays in the NBA. Talk about that with Rick coming up 40 minutes from now. We'll get into our monster teaser conversation for Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll continue filling out our NFL playoff bracket with our projected point spreads. Power Hour, Final Hour, all our bets for tonight, including the hashtag bucket of bets. I'll have a bunch of NBA, and I like my college basketball plays tonight too, mostly because Ken and I went through both of our plays before the show, and we like a lot of the same things. It always makes me feel better about some of my college basketball plays for tonight. I also like being on the same side as our guest at this time, and that is pro sports bettor Rob Bazzola. Rob is on Twitter at his name, which is Rob Bazzola. His podcast is Circles Off, great sports betting podcast. His app is BetStamp, and he hosts a Sunday morning NFL Periscope, giving you winning tips for the NFL postseason on his Twitter account, again, at Rob Bazzola. Rob, welcome back to the show. It's Nick and Ken. You Better You Bet, BetQL Network. Tremendous Thursday. How you doing, and how did Week 18 treat you and yours?
Week 18, one of the better weeks of the season, which was great. Recovering from a bad Week 17, which is always nice to get that bounce back, but yeah, I mean, now I'm just looking forward to the playoffs here. Unfortunately, we get to the playoffs every year, and the markets, you know, it's very difficult to find value in these games. I mean, we have large samples on all of these teams. There's not a lot of uncertainty in any of these games in terms of motivation or anything else that you might consider an edge. So it's a little bit more challenging to extract some value this week. But regardless, I mean, looking forward to the games at least.
Yeah, and well, that's Nick and I are definitely looking forward to the games. And I said this earlier, like, yeah, we would kind of want some action on every single game if we're going to watch them. You know, maybe it's not some crazy number edge or some angle that we're really excited about, but, you know, going to be watching the games. I feel like you're in the same boat too, Rob. So curious what your thoughts are on the games. We can go through all of them, which is awesome. Usually we have you on. We're obviously going through your most confident things. Then maybe we hit a couple other ones. A lot gets left on the cutting room floor. I don't think we'll have that happen this time, so we can kind of get started. The first game on Saturday is maybe a game that people think is kind of the most like boring or sets up as like the lamest in terms of long-term prospects, but it's also the game that's seen the most movement in terms of the side, which is actually really interesting. The Vegas Cincinnati game. I mean, there were 6.5s on Monday in a lot of places, and those are nowhere remotely close to appearing again. 6 to 5.5. I saw 5s on the board before we came on today. So a lot of movement towards the Raiders as we get closer and closer to this game on Saturday afternoon against Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Your thoughts, Rob, on Raiders Bengals? We'll call it 5.5 and 49.
Yeah, so I think I probably got the last of the 6s on the Raiders in this game. I make this game 4. Or actually just slightly under 4. Now, from a pure power ratings perspective, I can understand how anyone can get to 5.5 or whatever the number is in this game. I'm very much like a combination of power ratings plus matchups for teams. I think the Raiders match up fairly well with Cincinnati. Part of the reason why, I mean, it's probably been talked about ad nauseum this week, but Joe Burrow's numbers against the blitz this year have been at an elite level. His numbers when not blitzed this year have been league average, almost an exactly zero EPA per play when he is not blitzed. The Raiders blitz less than any team in the league at 12% because they generate so much pressure with their front four. And I believe that they will be able to generate pressure because the Bengals have one of the worst pass blocking offensive lines in the entire league. And on top of that, the Raiders defend the well, run pretty well in the top 10 in pretty much every metric across the board. So I don't think it's a great matchup for the Bengals offense. And conversely, while I don't like the Raiders offense whatsoever, and we've talked about them struggling to score points over the course of the last couple months, they do attack the middle of the field quite a bit. And that's where Cincinnati is the weakest, in terms of their defense. They've given up a lot of yardage over the middle of the field. Raiders get Darren Waller back, who wasn't really like healthy last week, but they activated him. Now he'll have a larger role. Hunter Renfrow running over the middle of the field as well. So I feel like there's an opportunity for the Raiders to attack this defense. I think the game's going to be much closer than I think people expect it to be. I think the more recreational fan is just like, the Raiders squeaked into the playoffs and the Bengals look at this offense type of thing. I don't really like the Raiders' outlook going forwards in these playoffs, but I think that this is a good matchup for them. And I think the previous meeting between them, despite the fact that Cincy won 32-13, anyone who rewatches that game or looks at the box score will see that the Raiders were very much in that game and they held the Bengals to like pretty much nothing until 5 minutes left in the game there. So Raiders, to me, whether you want to play it at 5.5 or not, that's your personal decision at this point with the sixes gone, but I think that they're the right side.
Let's go to Saturday night and stay in the AFC, and it's the third time we're going to see this game in like a month, basically, and that's the Bills and the Patriots. Buffalo's a 4-point favorite this time around in Western New York. The total here is 44. It's expected to be frigid, like potentially below zero with the wind chill coming up on Saturday night, but the wind doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, so maybe just like a regular football game just played, of course, in like Antarctica or like Hoth or whatever. Buffalo, a 4-point favorite, total 44. What do you like, if anything?
I lean Patriots. I'm not sure if I'm willing to bet it. We've talked about this pretty much every year when I'm on with you guys talking playoffs and quarterbacks making their first career playoff start. There is something to that. Historically speaking, there is a significant drop off in success rate and EPA per play for those quarterbacks. So Mac Jones obviously fits the criteria here this week. I do think, though, that that is somewhat accounted for already in this number. We look at the Buffalo-New England games this year. Both of them were on under a field goal in terms of teams being favored in those specific games. So there's something else that's accounted for here, whether that's a larger home field advantage for Buffalo. I mean, that could be the case, but I often feel like home field advantage is very overvalued in this first week of the playoffs as well. And I think historically speaking, if we look at the past decade or so, we'd see that the underdogs in this week tend to perform well. I think part of that is because the market overvalues home field advantage a little bit too much. One thing I'll say is I watched the last meeting between these two teams yesterday, the 33-21 Buffalo win. Buffalo played very well in that game. It was 26-21 in the fourth quarter there. Josh Allen threw about a 10-yard out. That should have been a pick six, returned the other way. It was dropped, and the Bills went on to score a touchdown on that drive, win 33-21. Mac Jones had two interceptions on two turnover-worthy plays in that game. Josh Allen had zero on two turnover-worthy plays in that game. The Patriots were 50% on late downs in that game on third down and fourth down. Sorry, the Bills were, I should say. So I feel like, what we can take away from that game is I think that the Patriots were a little bit unlucky, despite the fact that they got outplayed. I can see how someone could get to four, depending on how they value the Bills versus what I do. But I think 3.5 would be the right number in this game. I'm just pretty gun shy with the Mac Jones situation for New England, and I have personally not pulled the trigger.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Rob, let's go to Sunday, and we find our first game. I think, you know, the market projects a very, very, very likely winner, and that's obviously the Philly-Tampa Bay game, 1 o'clock Eastern on Sunday. Tampa favored by about 8.5. Ben ate a little bit, kind of basically in that dead zone, if you will, between 7.5 and 9.5, kind of bouncing back and forth. Current number 8.5, the current total, which has dropped tremendously in the last like 24 hours, about 45, 45.5. So what, if anything, do you like here in Eagles against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
So you guys have probably talked about the total dropping due to the weather, which is expected 25-mile-an-hour winds and rain, but the spread hasn't moved. Now, Ken, we talked about this when we were doing the Twitter space together on Sunday night. I would expect Philadelphia to take money at some point in this game just because they always take money. Like, it's been a consistent theme going on 10 weeks, even with backups against the Cowboys. They were getting bet last week. I don't know who in market always bets Philly, but I would expect that to happen. I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened yet, because as this total drops, it would lend itself to the underdog being more live in the game, a little bit less variance. And I think a lot of people think about the Bucs and they think about, oh, this fantastic run defense that they had over the years. The Bucs' run defense this year was not as good as previous years. And on top of that, they were 30th in the league in terms of explosive running plays allowed. They gave up a ton of big runs this season. I think Philly does have the potential to be able to run the ball on Tampa Bay. The issue I have with the Eagles, it's almost impossible to value them because all of their wins have come against nobodies. Every time they've taken up a step up in class, they have lost the game. I don't have a strong feel for this one way or another. I make it closer to 7.5 than 8.5. I could see anyone who would want to tease Tampa Bay. They're like the perfect teaser leg this week in terms of mid-40s total. You go through two key numbers. I completely get that. But this is probably the game I have the least interest in from a betting perspective.
You better you bet. BetQL Network, tremendous Thursday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley talking Super Wild Card Weekend with pro sports bettor Rob Bazzola on Twitter at Rob Bazzola. Rob, the main events of the weekend, not just because it's one of your favorite team, but also because it's like, you know, two great teams, rivalry renewed, the Cowboys hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Let's call it -3.25, like in between 3 and 3.5 for Dallas. Total is 51. We know you're a Cowboys fan. Maybe that kind of cloud in the judgment, maybe not. What do you think here for your Cowboys and the Niners in Dallas?
I never let my fandom bias me on games. I was watching week 18 hoping the Cowboys wouldn't play the 49ers. That was what I was doing, the scenario generator, and I was cheering based off of wanting the Cowboys to host the Cardinals. Probably was the best outcome for them. I think the 49ers are live. Now, here's what I'll say about this. I saw some buy orders for Dallas this morning at -3 plus 100. That has since moved. I think there are going to be additional buy orders on Dallas this week. So if you do like San Francisco, like I do, I would wait until later on in the week, because I suspect you might get a 3.5 at regular vig. That's just my hypothesis. I mean, that's how I feel on the game. I feel like the number in the game should be 3 regardless. And I could be interested in any side of the game, because I think the by far the most likely outcome is Dallas winning by 3. But particularly why I don't like the matchup for Dallas is I don't think they're equipped to stop the running game that the San Francisco 49ers can pose, especially if Trent Williams ends up playing this game, which I think he's about 99% to play this game at this point. Cowboys are very athletic in their front seven, but they don't defend the run particularly well. They also have very slow linebackers over the middle of the field in Leighton Van Der Esch and Keanu Neal, who struggle in pass coverage. I think that's a very exploitable matchup for George Kittle over the middle of the field there. So can San Fran score with Dallas? I think they can. I mean, the Cowboys will probably score in this game, even though the 49ers are getting players back in the secondary. I just don't see them fully stopping the Cowboys. But I made this game like literally exactly 3. I'm holding out here. I think I'm going to get a 3.5, and I'm going to bet the 49ers.
Rob, the Sunday night game, and Nick and I were talking about this earlier, you know, seems easy, seems like a projected blowout. Kansas City beat Pittsburgh by a very large margin just a few weeks ago in a game that closed Kansas City -10. Kansas City had some COVID issues coming into that game, so a lot of kind of circumstance maybe playing a role in the closing number, but it's worth noting just this number is bigger than it was just a couple weeks ago. And is that a good enough reason to make a bet? Are there great reasons why that would be the case? That's part of what we talked about earlier in the show. Curious, you know, if you have a bet on this game, or just kind of your thoughts on adjusting to a previous matchup like this, where there's like sort of an inflated number right now with the Chiefs and the Steelers. Chiefs 12.5, obviously was 10 a few weeks ago, and about 46 the total.
My thoughts are I would rather eat a shoe than bet the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's my opinion
what
here.
Kind of shoe, like,
I'll tell you what, man. You have a little salt, pepper, and ketchup, and that thing might not taste too bad, man. You might have to join me with the Steelers if we get a big enough number.
I have a lot of self-respect. I feel like it's going to be one of those games where, you know, if I bet the Steelers, I'd be cursing myself already at the end of the first quarter. Like, what have I done here? And, like, go to sleep really upset because it's the Sunday night football game, right? I could have a good day and just lay in bed Sunday night and be like, why did I do that to myself? I mean, we have seen a very recent matchup between these two teams, and there certainly is recency bias. We all suffer from it. But that was about as big a beatdown as you could possibly imagine. Like, the Steelers had 4.3 yards per play in that game. They trailed the entire game. It is so hard to not muster more yards per play when you are in constantly having to throw the ball, and they just couldn't get anything going. Their O-line cannot pass protect. The Chiefs D-line, fifth in pressure rate in the NFL this year. So even if the Steelers really get like an up game from their defense and they're somehow able to contain the Chiefs offense, I just don't know that they can score enough to make this competitive. I mean, I didn't consider laying it with the Chiefs. I considered Chiefs first half because we do know a lot about both these teams. Pittsburgh tends to get behind at the half, third quarter, make game of it at the end. That's been a consistent theme for them. KC has struggled in these big favorite roles in the last year and a half or so. So I did consider KC first half, but that number got bet pretty quickly off of -7. So ended up with nothing on this game. I have a lot of money on Kansas City futures, which I'll be rooting for after an auction draft last night. But aside from that, that's going to be my only rooting interest.
Got about a minute left for you, Rob. Would love your take on the Monday night game to close with the Rams as a 4-point favorite against the Arizona Cardinals. The total here is 49.5, about a minute to go.
I bet the under in this game. It's the only total that I bet this week. I got cooked on an under between Arizona and the Rams a few weeks back or about a month back on Monday Night Football. Late score to put that one over the total. I just think both of these offenses are overvalued. The Cardinals offense has not been the same without DeAndre Hopkins. I know a lot of fantasy owners will be like, oh, DeAndre Hopkins did nothing for my fantasy team. His presence on the field is crucial, especially in the red zone. The Cardinals have been able to move the ball 20-20, but since then, they really haven't been able to score at the same rate in the red zone. The Rams, I mean, we've all seen the offense kind of drop off a cliff. Matthew Stafford's efficiency ratings over the course of the last month have been really bad, and he turns the ball over a whole lot. I mean, I'm scared of a pick six here to kill the total. That's my biggest fear right now. But I think both of the offenses are overvalued in this game. I don't know if J.J. Watt's going to bring anything to the Arizona defense, but that's just an added plus. Like, if they can stop the running game with him back on the field, they were a very good defense with him on the field this year. I mean, that's just an additional bonus. So under 49.5 side, honestly, no opinion. I make it right on 4.
Steroids would be my guess.
I would agree. That's the most likely scenario.
Rob's app is BetStamp, which everyone should check that out. Circles Off is the podcast, and Sunday Morning NFL Periscope on his Twitter account, @RobBazzola. My friend, good luck with the games this weekend. We'll catch up with you next week for the best weekend in sports, the divisional weekend of the NFL playoffs.
Sounds good. Good luck, guys.
Take a quick break, and on the other side, we get back to filling out our NFL playoff brackets, our simulations with projected point spreads.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.